Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. I think it's just to kick off, we're having a reversal roles. I have a short sleeve shirt and you have a sweater on.
Well, I live near the ocean, so even in summer, it's quite cool in
Yeah.
the morning, which is great, by the way.
Awesome. Yeah, I would agree. Okay, let's jump right in. Obviously, there's Dana, there's the Fed, and then there's a presidential election coming up as well. So, which only seems to be getting weirder and weirder by the day. So happy to market reactions, everything. I'll let you take it where you want.
Okay, so let's start with the politics so we can get it out of the way. We're seeing the odds of a Trump win fall slightly. And in fact, Bilal has just published a note on how to trade a change in candidate on the Democratic side. So it's possible that the decline in Trump's odds could reflect that the Democrats are coming up with a more electable candidate. The betting markets show a greater risk of Kamala Harris being the front runners and Biden. I find this very plausible, and I suspect we'll know by the end of the weekend. But nevertheless, Trump remains in pole position. So still positive risk to the growth outlook and inflation outlook. Though the appointment of J.D. Vance as VP suggests to me more of a method, more structure in the implementation of the platform, in the sense that Vance may not agree with some of the traditional views on the establishment, such as trade, for instance, but he's very articulated. He has a vision for what he wants to do. And so we could have a VP who is unusually involved in policy implementation, and is unlikely to do irrational things. So let's see. We'll find out more of the details as we go along in the campaign. But to me, the appointment of a young visionary VP could give more structure to the economic program of the incoming administration.
Cool. Interesting. I think he's,
So,
and I guess he'll have what different than in the previous, when Trump was president in 2016. Yeah, he will have somebody who he may really rely on. He's still going to rely on, as he would say, his gut. And but it seems like a lot of their views are fairly overlapping. And maybe J.D. Vance is even more extreme in some cases. But it will definitely be a jostling for trying to shape Trump's opinions. But I just have one question on that. So from the discussion, from J.D. Vance's comments, I mean, obviously we still have a while away. The Trump interview, this idea about the Trump administration putting pressure on the Fed. Do you see that more likely, less likely, about what you thought? Have you changed your view on that?
I actually see it as more likely with Vance VP in terms of pressure. Whether they will succeed is going to be down to the number of supporters of Fed independence in the Senate, basically, because to do anything of substance, they'll have to change the Federal Reserve Act. And to do that, they will need a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. So I don't see it likely, but yeah, I mean, So Vance is basically the spokesperson for the part of America that's not shared in the prosperity brought by globalization. And one, I think, big source of resentment on the part of voters is, housing and how housing has become unaffordable for the average person,
Right.
which, by the way, is a trend that existed before Biden and was, got worse under Biden because of the Fed. And I think the Fed policies are front and center in there. So when I look at someone like JD Vance or someone like Orrin Kass, who is pushing forward a very interesting form of conservatism, a pro-working class conservatism, where they want to raise the bottom quarter or the bottom half of America through giving through changing the relative market power of workers and businesses, by contrast with the traditional tax and distribute welfare benefits approach of the Democrat. So this issue of housing has to be front and center, and if you want to resolve it in a market-friendly manner, you have to rein in, the Fed ability to expand its balance sheet. So we'll see. These are still very, we're still in a very inchoate state. We have to wait for more details. But yeah, I mean, this is an anti-establishment ticket. And you can't find any institution more pro-establishment and pro-status quo than the Fed. So on
Right.
balance, yeah, I'd say the risk have increased.
And if I remember the when the Fed was trying to raise rates into the end of 2018, and Trump was really upset by it, then remember, I think most people agreed, why did he cut so much in 19 and going into 2020? Again, that kind of a lot of people's views, including myself. The Fed can only cut so much, even though the economy was pretty much booming at that time. I mean, most central banks brought the rates down to zero in the end anyway, so it would not have made that much of a difference. But it definitely seemed like he was responsive to pressure. Now, he may be in a different position. Maybe he's fine if his term ends. Trump has I often said he's going to choose somebody for a role like that completely different, and then he doesn't really choose that different. But you're right, with JD Vance it could be different. My feeling on the JD Vance thing, and I've not looked into it deeply, is that his issue is big companies, so and may come from what his venture capital or he views big versus small in every aspect of the economy being a good and a bad, but it may be focused on giving big companies or large companies where they use contractors, these kind of things, gig workers, and giving them more power, and but still trying to create an environment where the entrepreneurial smaller companies are very good and can still thrive. But and I don't know if there's a way to thread that needle or not.
Well, so that's in a way the crux of the matter. Vance has said that Lina Khan, who is the head of the FTC, is the only person in the Biden administration who is doing a good job. So he's in favor of antitrust policy, but you can imagine that the concentration of wealth and economic power being what it is in the US, I mean, there's formidable opposition to continuing a strong antitrust policy, which, by the way, for what it's worth, I think is absolutely what the US needs. So there is a big question mark on, how far it will go, but at least we are off to a good start in the sense that we have someone who is very smart. Seems to be a good thinker, very articulated, and has some idea of what he wants to do. So we'll see. We're going to
Right.
have a very interesting few years ahead of us.
Okay, cool. And then anything from the Fed, any data stand out to you? Do you see any trends bubbling? You know, obviously some people are asking questions whether the economy is on a precipice of weakening significantly. I think your view is it's not. Anything else that did anything change your view over the last week?
No, I got a we got a speech from Waller, which confirms that September is not in the cards. Otherwise, I'm puzzled, by why the market is
Is not or
reading.
not in the cards?
Is not. I mean, he said basically, one, we need more data, which means nothing is going to happen at the July 31st meeting because there is no inflation data, no important data between now and then. So he said if the get data is very good, we will cut soon, which means the earliest is September. But he then said, actually, it's not likely. My base case scenario, the data will be mixed and we will cut later, meaning November. And as you know, I think that September, for political reason, is also not in the card. I mean, if I was in Jay Powell's shoes, I would look at the economic cost of cutting in November versus the political cost. And with the economy going strong, I mean, look at the retail sales number. We got, the US consumers doing well. The economic cost of cutting 6 weeks later are small.
Yeah, what is it? Let's say the economy falls off a cliff anyway. With 6 weeks, I think one of the clients said, what, like if he did make a mistake and those 6 weeks were important, just cut 50. The 25 would not save. And like, yeah, but he's also probably be well, any pr I'd say he's afraid of Trump, but and that's an example, but in reality. It's an unwritten rule that you don't really cut or raise rates within a month or two of a presidential election, right? Like that's kind of the so that's more.
I wouldn't say he's afraid. I would look at it, he's looking for his role in history, both in terms of soft landing and, bringing back inflation to target, but also for what he will do for the Fed. The Fed is an institution that existed long before Jay Powell became its head and will continue to exist. So he's a steward of the Fed, and risking Fed independence for what? Showing that he doesn't care about Trump? That would be a very foolish thing to
Just
do
put,
in the future. We'll see.
okay, cool. And then and then for the upcoming week, what are the key things that people should look out for? What are you looking out for?
So we get the end of year data and the first estimate of GDP. So GDP, it's always backward looking, but it gives us a basis to know where we are economy wise. I think the consensus is a little low. They are at 1.9% versus 2.9% for the Atlanta Fed, and we've had some data that suggests very strong CapEx, equipment CapEx, which, by the way, I'd been calling in February. I'd been looking at the data and saying businesses are building all these factories, but equipment is flat. At some point, equipment is going to pick up because they'll have to put machines, and I think the machines are being put now. So strong CapEx. And consumption not as weak as consensus is expecting. So not a big deal, but I think GDP could surprise on the upside. And then we get PCE, personal income, personal spending. I just wrote a note explaining why I think saving is likely to remain low. So that's my expectation. Basically, the cost of the basic necessities like food, shelter, gas is much higher than before the pandemic. So there's not much money left to save. That won't change. So that's my expectation on the PCE. We already no mystery there. We already know it's about probably 17 basis points, so close to 0.2%, which is a consensus. Which means year on year, we're probably going to have core PCE 2.6%. I mean, nothing that's a game changer there in terms of the Fed,
Right.
neither.
Oh, okay. So your view now is you think one, and we'll see one hike probably in the November.
One cut.
Sorry, one cut in
The hike is
November.
next year. I'm joking.
Sorry, one cut in November, and the market pricing in like close to 100% in September, it is just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I can only stick to the data, to my framework, and that's what it's telling me. So I can't change my mind because the market thinks differently.
Yeah. I mean that's we're hopefully helping investors, make sense and point out things that don't make sense to us in the markets. Okay, awesome. I guess quick couple of things just for pieces that our professional investors particularly should look out for. One is the one that you highlighted about what we think the market impacts will be with if seems most likely that Biden drops out of the race, and how markets may react to that. Then the other stuff I would highlight, as always, like Global Rates Weekly is great. A lot of questions around the dollar, not just driven by comments that Trump had, but even JD Vance. I'm kind of in Bilal's camp, or I think we've been saying about talking about with Mirza as well. A lot of the stuff that Trump talks about doing, which is, strong growth, tariffs. I mean, those are traditionally two things that are associated with a strong dollar, not a weak dollar. He can ask for that, and as we say, like markets are going to do what markets are going to do. Bilal had an interesting piece around the battle of the Fed versus Trump on the new dollar battle. You had a great piece on the household savings rate, and then we put out a few new FX trading ideas or recommendations. So I think people should look at the FX weekly. They're, again, constantly being improved, and it really is making the information very helpful and usable. And then, of course, as we always say, people really want the ultimate way to potentially to utilize our research is really start using our chat function, our Copilot, Macro Copilot function. From that, I wish everyone a nice weekend. A lot of parts of Europe probably stay cool. And Dominic, any parting words or?
No, thank you to the listeners. And also, please send feedback, negative feedback, especially helpful.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.